Well, it's good to see you this evening. Let's take our Bibles and once again turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're coming down the home stretch. We have one more lesson in this psalm, the Lord willing, next week. And we're praying about, Pastor has asked me if I'd continue the Wednesday night service, so we're going to see what he would have us to study next. But in our previous lessons, we saw in verses 1 through 3 that the sheep has been boasting about his wonderful shepherd. Notice, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, in verse 4, when we get to verse 4, we notice that there's a change of perspective. And instead of boasting about the shepherd, the sheep begins to talk directly to the shepherd. Notice, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In verse 3, we saw the calm course taken. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we saw here that there was calmness that shows no fear of the unknown or unseen. And then we want you to remember that this this valley is not really the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. And you recall that we said that shadows can't hurt you. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but there was a literal place called Valley of the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Is that I-80?
No, it wasn't I-80. No, or I-25. This picture was taken by Roger Fenton, a photographer, on April the 23rd, 1855. And it was taken during the Crimean War, where the British, the French, the Sardinia, and the Ottoman empires fought against the Russian empires. And this place was named by the British soldiers for being under constant shelling. And if you notice, you look real carefully, you'll see cannonballs up on the hillsides, everywhere in the road, and down the gullies there. And the British soldiers called that the Valley of the Shadow of Death. There was so much death there. Can you imagine being there with all those cannonballs falling all around you? Now, the Valley of the Shadow of Death is really the Valley of Deep Darkness. In essence, David was saying, even when I must walk through the darkest valley, and he was thinking of the fearful experiences he had gone through and how his shepherd had led him through those valleys of deep darkness. And likewise, he will lead us when we must pass, walk through, not run, not jump, but walk through the darkest valleys. And not only do we see the calm course taken, but also the confidence of the sheep. The sheep said, I will fear no evil. And of course, there were dangers that lurked in the dark valleys the sheep must walk through. There were many predators, such as lions, bears, wolves, vultures, robbers, and all waiting to attack them. However, the sheep had no fear because they had divine companionship. Notice he says, for thou art with me in verse 4. And the sheep knew that their shepherd would walk together with them and lead them through the valleys. And that's one thing, Doug, that we can always count on, that the Lord will be there regardless of what we're going through. Amen? Amen. He's there to walk us through those valleys. Finally, we see divine comfort. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And not only was the shepherd their guide, but he also had some special equipment to protect them, to protect the sheep when they were going through those valleys of deep darkness. The shepherd had, first of all, remember, he had a club or a rod, all right, which was a symbol of his defending power. And he used it to strike down the wild beasts, the robbers, and other adversaries as he led the sheep through the valleys. The shepherd's rod was also his symbol of authority, and it was an extension of his right hand. And the rod symbolizes the Word of God, which provides protection and comfort. And it is true. God's Word is true. It is authoritative. It is the most powerful weapon in dealing with sin and with error. You recall that Jesus used the Scriptures when he was, I think Al mentioned this maybe during the Sunday morning class. I can't recall, but Jesus used the Scriptures when he confronted Satan. The shepherd also had not only a club, but he had a crook. That is a staff, which represented the tender guidance of the shepherd. And it was also a symbol of the concern, of his counsel, his compassion that he had for his sheep. And the staff is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God as he confronts us. You know, he not only confronts us, but he convicts us. He challenges us. And he changes us. Sometimes he has to chastise us. And then he corrects us. And finally, he comforts us. And I'm glad that we have the precious Holy Spirit indwelling within us. Both the rod and the staff provided protection and correction for the sheep, which in turn brought comfort to them. Now, we now come to verse 5. Okay? And in verse 5, he says, and he, again, remember, now he's speaking to the shepherd. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. So, here's what we see. We see the great shepherd, and here in verse 5, he prepares for his sheep. All right? And by that, we see divine providence. Do you know what providence means, what the word providence is? Providence refers to God's guidance. It refers to his care, his help. And how many of you have heard of providence? A place called Providence. Where? Rhode Island. It's the capital, I believe, of Rhode Island. Okay? And it was founded by Roger Williams, who was a Baptist, in 1636. And it was one of the first cities established in the United States. And he named the city in honor of God's merciful providence, for God's care and for his help. So, in verse 4, the shepherd protects his sheep. And now in verse 5, he prepares for his sheep. He has taken them through the dark valley. And now they are on the hillside going up the mountain. And I want you to notice, first of all, that he is our great provider. He is our great provider. Has God ever provided for you? Sure he has. Every day. The very air that we breathe. And it is good to be able to breathe, isn't it? Yeah, I've had to use my oxygen several times this week again, but I'm thankful that he's given me the ability to speak this evening. And pray for me, if you would, that I'll be able to finish this lesson. Anyway, he has taken them through the dark valley, and now they're on the hillside going up the mountain. So, he's our great provider. He says, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, somehow, think about this. Thou preparest a table. Well, regardless of what version you're using tonight, it says that, doesn't it?
Table.
Mentions the table, okay? Somehow, sheep and tables don't go together. Do they? No. So what is the table the shepherd prepares for his sheep? You know, so often we read the Scriptures and we read over it and we never give thought to what is this actually saying? Some commentaries say it refers to a royal banquet set on tables that the king would provide for his conquering soldiers while the defeated chained enemies could only look on as the feast was spread before them. Others say it's a high summer range, a flat plateau on the top of the mountains where grass grows in the summer. Now, what do we call those flat plateaus? We have them here in Cheyenne as you start going up towards, what is it, Chugwater and all that. What do we call those high plateaus?
Mesa.
Huh?
Mesa.
We use the Spanish name for tables, mesas. That's what they're called. And, you know, previously we learned how the shepherd led his sheep through green pastures and then along the still, quiet waters and up through the dark mountain valleys. And now he leads them up to the high tablelands of summer. And our great shepherd goes before us in every situation, preparing the way in which he leads, in which he guides, and provides for his sheep. Now, the Hebrew word for table, here's what I say, you know, when you study the scriptures, you want to know what words mean. The Hebrew word for table actually means a meal. Ah, interesting, isn't it? Yes, yes, Brother Esclair, it's interesting. Thank you very much. It means a meal. And the shepherd provides a banquet for the sheep in the most unlikely place. He prepares it in the presence of their enemies. One author said this, quote, "The shepherd bids the sheep eat, and he holds the enemy at bay. It is a banquet with the enemies looking on, licking their chops, but unable to act under the watchful eye of the good shepherd. And although the wild animals are around, the sheep can graze safely because the shepherd is in their presence." And notice in verse 4 again, "I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." You know, how often the enemies of Israel would speak against their God, and they would say something like we find in Psalm 78, verse 19. And they would question God, or the Israelites, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" And he mentions that several times. Can God really provide food for his people? And we say, yes. Amen. Yes, he can. You know, I read about a little girl who had been disobedient to her parents. And as her punishment, she was not allowed to sit at the dinner table with them, with the rest of the family. And instead, she had to sit by herself at another table. And as she sat alone, and in a moment of quietness, she was heard to pray, "I thank thee, Jesus, for preparing a table for me in the presence of mine enemies." That's cute, isn't it? Well, the shepherd prepares a table in the sight of and in spite of the enemies of the sheep. Another author said David is referring to the rich provision which the Lord makes for his children. He feeds them on heavenly dainties as they travel through this world. They have sources of joy that the world does not have. They feed on the living bread and drink the living water, and their hearts are satisfied. And how true that is. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Why? Because he's my divine provider. And he's yours if he's your shepherd. Amen? He provides, and the greatest need that we have that he provides is what? Our salvation. Our salvation. All right? Now then, let's look. Secondly, we see divine providence here. And what we see next is he is not only our divine provider, but he is our great physician. He is our great physician. "Thou anointest my head with oil." Now, I don't know if you knew this, but along with his rod and staff, the shepherd would carry a bottle of oil to put on the sheep's head as a repellent from insects, especially flies. One author said this, quote, "Summertime is fly time. Only those who have kept livestock or studied wildlife habits are aware of the serious problems for animals presented by insects in the summer. Anybody ever have animals that you raise? What was it, Doug?
Raised calf.
Calf?
Chicken.
Chickens?
Ducks.
Ducks?
Yep. Flies were always present.
Always present.
Always present.
He says, to name just a few parasites that trouble the stock and make their lives a misery, there are. And I didn't realize there were this many different flies in the world. Listen, warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and other minute winged parasites that multiply at this time of year. So, you ever watch videos of animals and whatever they are, and there's flies all over them, and it's got to be horrible. Their attacks on animals can readily turn the golden summer months into a time of torture for sheep and drive them almost to distraction. Well, the oil that he carried was used, it was olive oil, okay, with sulfur and spices. And it was refreshing, soothing, freed the sheep from the irritation caused by the flies, allowing them to graze in peace without distractions. And some shepherds used a combination of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. One commentator again said that before allowing his sheep to enter a field, the shepherd would walk up and down inspecting for holes where vipers, little brown snakes, could pop out and bite the sheep's nose, poisoning them and causing death. The shepherd would take some oil, he would pour it around the small holes, and if the vipers tried to come out, they couldn't pass because they were slippery with that oil and they would slip back down, thus protecting the sheep from snake bites, all right? And plus the smell of the oil on the sheep's head would drive them away. Not only is summertime fly time for the sheep, it's also scab time. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep all over the world. Scab is most commonly found around the sheep's head. So, the shepherd would also use the oil for scab and other medicinal purposes, such as cuts and bruises, and to keep them from getting sunstroke. Philip Keller, I've quoted him a lot during this series, he was a shepherd himself, and he said, quote, in the Old Testament, when it was declared that the sacrificial lambs would be without blemish, the thought uppermost in the writer's mind was that the animal should be free of scab. In a very real and direct sense, scab is significant of contamination, of sin, and of evil. So, in the Christian life, there's a battle raging. And what is that battle raging for?
Our minds.
And every day we're being contaminated by the world's ungodly philosophy and by sin, and of course by Satan. Daily we are exposed to the filth of this world. And our thought patterns are affected by the tendency to violence, hatred, prejudice, greed, cynicism, and disrespect for that which is noble and fine and pure and lovely. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8, this is the reason he said this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Then we need to also remember, always be on guard, and remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, what can we learn from this verse? Well, oil in the Bible is also a symbol and the type of what? The Holy Spirit. And you know, as a shepherd poured the oil on the sheep's head to alleviate the pesky parasites, say that five times, pesky parasites. Anyway, even so, God's Holy Spirit in the Christian's life counteracts the ever-present aggravations that we encounter through this life's journey. And as the shepherd surrounds the serpent's hole with oil, even so the Lord has surrounded us with His Holy Spirit. And the serpent, Satan, cannot touch us. Couldn't touch Job either until he got permission, right? By the way, the shepherd knew that one anointing of oil was not enough. And as the sheep had to have renewed application of oil, so do Christians need the daily anointing of God's gracious Spirit upon our minds and our hearts, which produces joy, contentment, love, patience, gentleness, and peace. John 2:27, listen. God's anointing will teach us. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, the Holy Spirit. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because He's my divine physician and yours. Has He ever healed you? I'm sure we all have had His healing touch. Amen. And then finally, let's look at the last thing. And this one here will probably puzzle you. What is that word? God is our great, what? Plethora. Plethora. How many of you have used that word before? Anybody here? Like today? Did you use it today? This last year? Do what?
Hourly.
Yeah. All day long. Oh, yes. He is our great plethora. And that word plethora means an amount or supply more than sufficient to meet one's needs. And isn't that what Jesus is? Our great shepherd? He is more than what we need. And you know what? He says, my cup runneth over. And so here is an acknowledgement of the abundant Christian life. David was describing the fullness of joy, peace, and provision that was his because of the Lord's goodness and grace to him. Now, you notice the picture here? My cup runs over. So when you think of a cup, what comes to your mind? A cup, right? Well, that's not what a cup in the Bible was. The cup was a hollowed out stone trough that was located by many of the wells and the springs, and they were scattered throughout the Judean wilderness. And the shepherd would fill them up, and he would continue to pour water into the cup until it was running over. Okay? And all his sheep had drunk, and they were refreshed. Also, a cup in the Bible is sometimes used to mean life. And likewise, in a wonderful way, our cup of life overflows as our shepherd provides an abundance of blessings and benefits every day. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And God's provision for life is poured out from an overflowing cup. The sheep have a life running over with good things that the shepherd provides. You know, the children's chorus, I don't know if you know it. Anybody ever sing this song? Do you remember that one, Violet? All right. Sing it, Mel.
Running over.
My cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and running over. Now, in England, they sing, my cup is full, and so is my saucer. I know what that means. Just Melody knows what it means then, and Mark. You know what it means?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The T runs over into the saucer, and that's the way it is with our blessings. God's blessings are great. He provides for us. Our great shepherd provides for us an abundant life that's overflowing with his benefits. And that's what he said in John 10:10. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Running over. The Lord's life is poured into my life and yours if you're saved. And our cup overflows because our life runs over with his life. And this is what David is saying here, what the sheep is saying. So I want to ask you tonight, is your cup running over? If Jesus Christ is your Savior, if he is your great shepherd, then every day your cup and mine is really running over. We can't begin to count, Brother Doug, what God has done for us. We can't begin to count the blessings, our daily blessings. So, amen. I trust that encourage you. And thank him every day for all of his blessings. Let's pray.